Michigan Broadcast, Black Sheep Network, Kodiak hanging out at the board. Hey, a call. A call. Look at it there. Out of bronze, a son of a bitch. Hey, Nick.
How's it going, Mishki? How you doing tonight?
I'm all right.
Oh, yeah, you were during the one of those ads you were talking about, the Crow Indians and that got me thinking. Up here in Minnesota, 1862, during the Sioux Uprising, that was the largest mass execution in U.S. history. There was over 300 persons condemned to die, and Abraham Lincoln lowered it down to about 33.
Yeah, and he had to fight to get it down that low.
Yeah, and he also fought in the 1832 Black Hawk War up here. And him and Jefferson Davis were actually born 100 miles apart in Kentucky.
I don't think we can actually say for certain that Abraham Lincoln fought in a war.
Well,
he was in the service.
Yeah, he was in the service.
Yeah.
But he did have something to do with it. But that was just interesting that it got me thinking about all that stuff and.
Yeah, the Dakota Uprising is an interesting thing to read about. A lot of people don't understand the conditions.
Oh yeah,
that
it was
kind of
like Geronimo and Turkey Creek, and how he did an uprising because they were living in horrible conditions. The army was promising to give them things, and they weren't living up to those. And
yeah, they were starving.
Yep. And they shot. The army came in. They shot a medicine man, and basically the Apaches uprose, and that began Geronimo's huge uprising. Until
now, in the case of the Dakota uprising, mm-hmm. the start of it was actually kind of ugly. It wasn't quite as much the whites' fault when it came to the actual start of it. I mm-hmm. believe that a Dakota Indian just killed somebody in a farm family randomly. It was your random act of violence. That started it. These people that were killed weren't doing anything specific that was harassment toward the Indians. It was just a general frustration towards whites that had this guy. I think first they were going to just steal some eggs, these Indians, and then they ended up killing these people, and then they said, well, we're in this deep, let's make it a war. And a war.
Yeah, that was kind of like the Nat Bacon uprising in the antebellum South in Virginia, where him and some slaves, they murdered a white family, and that just the whole South went into arms, and he eventually was caught and tried and executed. But that was the same thing where they just went in and murdered because they were frustrated with their living conditions and whatnot.
No, was the
but actually, in the actual South, in the antebellum South, only 1% of the Southerners owned slaves because the rest of them were too poor. And it was only the rich, you know, who could afford to get them.
In the case of the Dakota Uprising, was the big chief there Little Crow?
Yeah, I believe he was.
And he was a reluctant participant. I mean, he said, I'm the leader of you guys. I guess I'm the guy who's going to be in charge here, but this is a no-win situation, and it's going to mean the end of us in this area. And he went along because he felt obligated, but, boy, he wasn't exactly thrilled with his position.
No, it was quite a sad chapter of U.S. history.
That's the interesting thing with the Crows. See, you ever hear of a Crow Indian named Plenty Coup?
I have heard of. I haven't really studied that much into some of the Crow history.
Either he had a dream or someone else had a dream, and it was interpreted by the elders as announcing that the arrival of the white man, and that the Indians were going to lose. And the dream was a buffalo going into the ground, into a hole in the ground. A lot of buffalo going into a hole in the ground, and then something coming out of the ground that the Indians had never seen before, an animal like the buffalo, but very different looking.
Okay.
And what they saw coming out was the cow.
Hmm.
And he went to have this dream interpreted, and they said what it means is the death of the Indian way of life and that the white man will conquer. And so that's when they made the decision that they would cooperate with the whites to try and save that beautiful chunk of land they had, because most of the other tribes lost their territory and ended up getting a reservation somewhere that wasn't their original land. The Crows kept their land, and it's the prettiest reservation in America.
Yeah, that's like the Cherokees in Tennessee. They were moved out of their land by Andrew Jackson, and they eventually resettled in Oklahoma. But some of them stayed there and integrated with the white population. They had their own newspapers and way of life, and but most of them were forced out by Andrew Jackson during that.
Yeah, ever since then, I keep track of my dreams a little more.
Yeah, the dream world's fascinating. There's a lot of different books written on the dream world. Art Bell has had some shows on dreams, and
Eddie Murrow, Edward R. Murrow, had dreams of a bunch of radios going into a hole and a bunch of TVs coming out.
TV, that's a whole other subject. I prefer the radio much more.
I
mean, you can listen to the TV band on radios, but TV, it's just a trance.
Be a guy like me in radio ripping on TV and talking about how much better radio is a lot like a poor guy talking about how he doesn't need all that money.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Well, I believe radio is going to...
Take over
because
oh, sure.
As soon as, you know, whatever this war thing, if it escalates and, you know, technology really, really goes down the tubes and satellites are knocked out. I mean, ham radio is going to, and other radio forms are going to be the only way of communicating.
Oh, yeah, pretty soon it'll be just the we'll have the transatlantic cable there, and that's about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Good talking to you, Nick.
Well, yeah, I'll call in another time. Always,
okay.
Always enjoy listening to your show.
Thanks a million. Yep. Enjoyed talking to you. Bye-bye.
You have a good night. Bye-bye.
You too.